أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين بالقاسم محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد عزم الله أجورنا وأجوركم والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. The third night of our discussion and the topic that we have chosen is Tawheed. Tawheed in terms of Tawheed al-Nazari, which means theoretical Tawheed and understanding of Tawheed. And Tawheed al-Amali, which means practical Tawheed. How can we achieve this theoretical vision of Tawheed through practice? If you may recall, last night we looked into what is the substance of ruh, or what is ruh of insan, and the basis of our argument or the proof that we have brought in relation to ruh was from the Quran and from the Sunnah or Riwayat. One was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed into Adam from his spirit. So therefore, the spirit that we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as spirit is immaterial, that means it cannot be separated. So it is that very spirit of God. So we live with a great creation with us. And the hadith of our sixth imam was that the relationship of a spirit with human beings is like the rays of the sun with human being, which is outside. The rays of the sun is outside. And it encompasses, or the magnitude of the rays of the sun is quite extensive and is connected to insan wherever he is. So spirit really resides outside the whole material creation. Even the universe, it is outside that. You know, it's like one of those things, you know, these shops, they have this natural discovery shops, you know, and they have this, like an energy bulb, or which have like blue or green lights inside. You know, have you ever seen that? You know, when you touch the glass and all of a sudden the energy touches you. You know, there's one flow of energy in there, and wherever you touch, you know, it just gets connected to you, you know. So bodies, our bodies are like that, and there's that energy which is the ruh. So wherever that body be, the energy gets connected to that. And basically when that energy is disconnected, you know, that means that the ruh stays or remains outside our bodies. And it will be on that very level that it has achieved in terms of its greatness. There were three peculiarities of ruh, we said. One was that it has the quality of Qudus, وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ, for the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we helped him, or we sent with him a spirit which have the quality of Qudus, call it the holy quality, or the Holy Spirit, as you might say in Christian terminology, or the quality of purity. It's pure, you know, it's without any limitation, without any fault, and it is indeed the essence of every creation, even malaika. But it is different, you know. Do not take me wrong, when we say that it is its essence of every creation, means that it is one. Malaika are different, Ruh is something else as well. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ. So Malaika descends on earth on the night of Qadr, and Ruh also descend on earth. So these are two things here. But at the same time, it is that very essence of every creation, because it is through Ruh everything exists. You know, the Ruh which resides or which is with the Malaika is much, much purer than the Ruh that resides in us. Now, we had stopped to ask a question last night, that if we have this great spirit with us, which comes from Allah, which is of Allah, وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, how come we are veiled from it? And we slightly pointed out to that, how can we feel the presence of that spirit? And we said, the sense of goodness that we have in us is from that spirit. For example, zulm is bad. If I hit a child without any reason, everyone would say it's bad, regardless he is religious or not. Whether he's a Muslim or Christian, or he doesn't believe, he would say it is zulm, it's bad. Does anyone taught him that? No. The sense of goodness, the sense of generosity, all of these qualities that insan have, and it remains with him till he dies, whether he believe in God or he doesn't believe in God. You know, even if you ask a criminal that what you have done, you have murdered someone, it's bad, he would say he would agree with it. It's bad, yes. But the point at the same time, I will just mention that in the margin, is that for instance a serial killer, or a person who continuously commits crime or crosses the boundary or the parameters which God have placed, then Allah says that خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ. What does that mean? Allah have sealed their hearts so that they don't understand, and their ears, the guidance has been given to them but they don't listen. Why is that? Because they have continuously crossed the boundaries that Allah have fixed, and while doing so, they themselves restricted themselves from being guided. So Allah says that they have reached to a point of no return. So as everything is by the power of God, Allah have sealed their hearts. Anyways, so they have that sense of goodness in them. That is the spirit. Even for a child, you know, this could be used as an argument to prove imamat of a young child, like for instance in relation to the ninth imam. At a very young age, 6, 7, he was imam. You know, even for a child, if he fulfills the duties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't crosses the boundaries, the parameters that God have fixed, he will be guided with that spirit that Allah have sent him. So the more an individual fulfills the command of God, the more he will unfold the spirit that he has in him. So the spirit is with us, with all of us, but we are veiled from. And what are the different types of veil that we would like to look at it tonight? Not that, for example, you know, the sisters are happy that we're going to talk about clothes and veils and hijab, you know, no, not really. The different types of veil, first of all, is that our very wujud, our very existence of being insan made from clay, itself is a veil, is a hijab. Because the lowest of all creation is considered as matter. The lowest of all creation is matter. And as we are created of matter as we are created of clay, that itself is a hijab. You know, like we gave an example of light and the intensity of light. The intensity of light becomes lower if it goes through a dark glass. But if it goes through a clear glass, the intensity as clear as it is, as it was, for example. So when the spirit resides in us or is with us, the intensity lessens. Like, for example, you know, another example is kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of God. When it is on that angelic realm, obviously it is in a different form. It's in that sublime and pure form. But when we have the Quran here, it is that very kalam. There isn't any difference in it. But in terms of its purity, it is different. It's material. But it is the same kalam, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There isn't any difference in that. Like, for example, you know, many of the verses of the Quran were really mukashifat to the Prophet, meaning that Prophet saw those verses. It wasn't like Jibreel came and whispered or brought that inspiration to his heart. No, he sees those things and he dictated that, and that became verses of the Quran. So they were mukashifat. On a completely different level, the Quran was. So in that very fashion, the spirit of ours, as is with this material creation, you know, it becomes a hijab in itself. The other example being given by Masumin alayhi salam is jahalat, is the ignorance of man. That becomes a hijab for the individual. As the hadith of our 5th Imam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Tawheed-e-Saduq is one of the greatest book compiled by Sheikh Saduq. And this book have all of the riwayat traditions in relation to Tawheed, in relation to oneness of God. It will be a good reference. So in this one, the 5th Imam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ma'roof inda kulli jahil. Allah is known to every jahil, because Allah is so apparent, we said. وَهُوَ مَا كُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there wherever you are. But at the same time, He is ma'roof to every jahil, but at the same time, He is unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because of His jahalat, because He doesn't have that understanding. And jahalat brings about what? What is it doing? What does ignorance doing? It's bringing about forgetfulness, nisyan. A person is becoming forgetful. For example, for a child, if you tell him that fire is dangerous for you, he will not understand. And you will tell him once, you will tell him twice. He knows something. He will say, okay, fine, it's dangerous, I will not go near it. But he's forgetful. He forgets because he hasn't really feel it. He doesn't have the knowledge of it. If you inform him that it is dangerous for you, you know, he will say, he agrees, okay, it's dangerous. It will burn, it will do this, it will do that, right? But as he hasn't really sensed it, he would forget what it is. That's why he would extend his hand over and over again. When our elders tell us it's bad for you, you know, we take it, you know. But at the same time, because we haven't really felt the presence of it, of its badness, we tend to forget that and carry it out. And then we are faced with this problem, or the child burns from the fire, then he says that yes, because that ilm, that knowledge really sits in his heart now. Then he would realize that it's bad. So forget, jahalat, ignorance, bring about forgetfulness. A person who is who is jahil, the quality that it will develop in him that he will become forgetful. The hadith to support what we said, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ هِجَابٌ غَيْرَ خَلْقِهِ. The seventh Imam says that there isn't any hijab between the Khaliq and the Maqloob, and there isn't any hijab between Khaliq and the Maqloob, but that the Khalq itself, but the creation itself is a hijab. That he is other than God. That means that the realization of his self, that he is other than God. If I say that I am other than God, obviously, you know, I am regarding God as a separate entity and myself as separate. But there is only one entity, and that is the entity of God, which is Tawheed. So therefore, you know, the more I regard myself instead of the divine self, the more farther away I will be from God. What is myself, not the divine self? Myself is I desire this, I desire that. I want this, I want that. Nafs. The more I regard that khilqat of mine, the further I will be from God. But I say that no, I desire this, but I don't want that because God wants something else, so I want that. So therefore, I will be closer to God in that sense. Because there is no existence of self anymore. But what exists is that what God wants and what God desires. Not my desire, but what God desires. Then obviously, through practice, you know, which we will discuss in detail, I'm just mentioning out here, it will reach to a point that this self no longer remains. It becomes that self of God to the extent that, for example, we have the hadith, whosoever wages a war against Waliullah, they have waged a war against Allah. Because there isn't that selfness of that individual, of that person anymore present. Because he has completely destroyed that and highlighted that into the self of God. For example, Fatima bazatu minni, whoso waman azani, you know, whosoever, Fatima is the part of the Prophet, and whosoever gives pain to Fatima, it is as if given pain to the Prophet, and whosoever pains the Prophet, have pains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا رَمَيْتُ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. For example, the Quran says in relation to the Prophet that, O Prophet, when you're shooting an arrow, it is not you, it is Allah who is shooting an arrow. Or the verse of the Baytul Ridwan, which says that when they give bayah upon the hand of the Prophet, they are not giving bayah upon the hand of the Prophet, but they are giving bayah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the hand of God. يَدُ اللَّهَ فَوْقَ, for example. So therefore, that self no longer remains. And this is also supported by the hadith, which is well accepted by all of the scholars. Imam Ghazali in Ahya Ulum al-Din, one of the greatest magnum opus work of Imam Ghazali, 10 or 11 volumes on Islamic ethics, he also accepts this, and he brings this hadith of Qurbun Nawafil. A person, when he performs nawafil, he comes closer and closer to God, so much that Allah becomes his hand, Allah becomes his hearing, Allah becomes his vision, through which he hears, through which he sees, through which he acts. So therefore, no longer of his self remains. Qurbun nawafil. And Prophet is considered to be the ultimate, isn't it? Because he is the one who established, who founded nawafil himself. So this hadith itself, if one do tamassuk to this hadith to prove the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib, is sufficient enough. That, I mean, the Prophet declared the wilayat of Ali in Ghadir. Who declared the wilayat of Ali in Ghadir is the Prophet. Who is Prophet? The one who have completely annihilated in God. The Yadullah, the hand of God, the hand of the Prophet is the hand of Allah. The vision of the Prophet is the vision of Allah. So this hadith itself is enough to really establish the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, the wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the hijab, as we said, the veil, One is the creation itself, the other is the jahalat, and there isn't only hijab-e-zulmani, but there are hijab-e-nurani as well. You know, we think that hijab to be only zulmani means dark hijabs. Like, for example, our desires that is not accepted by God as a hijab-e-zulmani. Sins, for instance, is a hijab. But there are hijab-e-nurani. Why? How come that be possible? إِلَٰهِ هَبْلِ كَمَالٌ إِنْقِطَعَ عَلَيْكَ وَأَنِرْ أَبْصَارُ قُلُوبِنَا بِذِيَاهِ نَذِرَ عَلَيْكَ حَتَّى تَغْرِقْ أَبْصَارُ الْقُلُوبِ هُجُوبَ النُّورِ. In Munajat of Shabaniya of Amirul Mumineen, Hujubun Nur, he discussed, "Oh Allah, provide me with the perfection of disconnection." You know, his perfection in disconnection as well. He's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, disconnect me from this dunya completely to the perfect sense that I'm not connected to this dunya at all. To the extent that even shatter and destroy the hijabs of Nur. فَاتَّسِلْ إِلَى مَعْدِنِ الْأَزَمَةِ so that I join that ma'dan, that treasure that is the greatest treasure of yours, where completely, you know, joined, or where one is in communion with God. And this has happened to, you know, many incidents been reported in relation to the ma'sumeen, in relation to the imams, that they would go unconscious while reciting the talbiyah. Before doing Hajj, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, they will really go unconscious because the body doesn't have that capacity to really take that connection with that the ultimate spirit when it becomes connected to that spirit. The riwayat in relation to spirit of mu'mineen, وَإِنَّ الرُّوحَ الْمُؤْمِنْ لِأَشَدُّ الْإِتِّسَالِ بِرُوحِ اللَّهِ Certainly the ruh of a mu'min, أَشَدُّ الْإِتِّسَالِ The connection to ruhillah is more shadeed than what? More shadeed than what? أَشَدُّ الْإِتِّسَالِ بِرُوحِ اللَّهِ مِنْ إِتِّسَالِ الشَّعَيَ الشَّمْسِ بِهَا It's more shadeed, it's more intense than the rays of the sun to the sun. So the ruh of a mu'min, like we said, there's ruh of non-mu'mins as well, that is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ruh of a mu'min is much greater in connection to God than the rays are connected to the sun. So you can imagine that how close a spirit of a mu'min is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we've been blessed with that spirit that is with us, as we all call ourselves as mu'mineen, you know, in that outward sense. So we should be able to have and sense that spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, but we are veiled from it, even the spirits of mu'mineen and mu'minat. They are in zulumat. Isn't it the verse of the Quran, which is one of the discussions of tonight as well? Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of mu'mineen, that they will be taken away from where? From zulumat. Towards where? Nur. So that means mu'mineen are in zulumat. That's what it means, right? Allah wali alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of the one of the mu'mineen, and they will be taken away from zulumat to nur. So all mu'mineen are in zulumat. And then the verse continues, it says yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur walladhina kafaru awliyahum at-taghut yukhrijuhum min an-nur ila adh-dhulumat. And they will, the taghut, those who do not believe in God, they will be taken away from nur to zulumat. So how can we understand this verse? Yes, shadidul ittisal ila Allah, ruhillah, the ruh of a mu'mineen. It is connected to God, but still it is in zulumat, because Allah is saying in the Quran it is in zulumat. The interpretation of this in relation to the nur is that, for example, the intensity of light in this room is lesser. And if someone takes us in another room where the intensity is greater, so in comparison with that room, or with that level, or with that station, is indeed greater to the station that we were before. So that's what it means, that when Allah is saying that I will take mu'mineen from zulmat to nur, they are in nur, but in comparison where Allah will take them, that is zulumat. In relation to understanding that we had, for example, about Imam Hussein or about Tawheed when we were younger, is indeed nurani, but compared to understanding that we have now, for example, that is zulmani. So, and for the kuffar, you know, day after day, as the signs are shown to them, as the spirit resides within them, and they do not pay attention to their conscience, to that spirit that resides within them, they will be taken away from nur to zulumat. Because believing in God, in deity, it is in the very essence of man. And he denies that. He is always in quest of the deity, of perfection. He regards that perfection to be material. That's why he conquers land after land. That's why he tried to accumulate wealth after wealth, thinking that that is perfection. But still, he is thirsty even after conquering. This drive of achieving, this drive of accumulating wealth, land, honor, is to achieve that true perfection, is to achieve that true ittisal, true connection with that spirit that resides with him. And as he becomes confused that even after accumulating that honor, even after accumulating that wealth, still I have that drive, he becomes bewildered. He becomes confused. So at this moment, when he becomes confused, he relies on worldly temptation, pleasures, alcohol, for example. The problem that we have is that it takes him away from the pain that he has, and he becomes addicted to it. So whenever he's down, he takes it. Or drugs, for instance. Whenever he reaches that limit where his soul, his spirit, can't take it anymore, you know, he takes that injection so that it calms him down. Because there's a number of questions occurring in his mind, and there's no answer to it. He hasn't found that answer. And then, you know, he takes that and he forgets that for a little while and continue. So that's what. Or on the other hand, the material society will tend to provide him with certain entertainments that will fill the time, the questioning time, that will fill that questioning time for him through games, through you know, entertainment, different types and forms of entertainment, so that they don't question that question that is coming from his inside, that where has he come from, where is he going, why is he here, why do I feel sad when I see something wrong. So therefore, you know, what we see society in terms of today, the material society, is that because it hasn't really reached to the point where it could really resolve and answer and provide that true human values. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Then as we were talking about Nur, what will happen is that the sense of goodness, the sense of things being right, he has that till he dies. And after he dies, what will happen is that in Surah Hadid we recite, very beautiful in relation to Nur. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسَعَ نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمِ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمِ يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The day tara means to see. On that day, you will see the faithful men, the mu'mineen and mu'minat, يَسَعَ نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. There will be a nur in front of them. It is that very spirit, that nur. And they have built that up from the very day of taklif, from that very day that they become responsible of carrying out the duties, the responsibilities of God. They have built it up, that nur. Because this nur came with us, this nur is always with us, which is that spirit. And yawma tamshi nurun, you know, in Surah Hashr we recite, that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu bi rasuli yutikum kiflayn min nuri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you with a nur, you know, if you, oh people who believe, bring iman upon rasul. So the mu'mineen and mu'minat will have that nur with them, and this nur will guide them, and glad tidings to them, bushraakum al-yawm, about Jannat. Bushra is good news. About the Jannah and the rivers underneath. And then in relation to the Munafiqeen. Yawma yaqulul Munafiqeen. And the Munafiqoon. Yawma yaqulul Munafiqoon. And the Munafiqoon and Munafiqat. Lilladheena amanu unduruna. When they will look at it, the Mu'mineen and Mu'minat having this Noor on the Day of Judgment, they would say that, Qeel, irja'akum waraakum faltamisu noora. That they would like to utilize this nur, but they will, a voice will echo and it will tell to them that go back to the world and bring that nur with you. And فَذُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. And a wall will be raised around them, around those mu'mineen and mu'minat who have that nur. And there will be a door. Ba'atinuhu fihi rahma. Inside of it, ba'atin of it is rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa zahiru min qiblihi al-azab. And the zahir, outside of it, where munafiqeen and munafiqat are, there will be azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this nur was with the mu'mineen and mu'minat in this very dunya. And they saw it, they utilize it. For example, Quran is considered as nur as well. They utilized it, they strengthened their spirit, and it remained with them. And even for munafiqeen and munafiqat, here, you know, if one pays attention to this verse, it didn't say mushrikeen, it didn't say kuffar, it says munafiqeen and munafiqat, the hypocrites. They are aware of the nur. Thank you very much. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. They are aware of the nur. Munafiqeen, you know, those who see the reality, those who believe to a certain extent, but later on, when they are with themselves or when they are with their friends, they say that, you know, we are just for the sake of the Prophet, we are saying that we believe. You know, it could have said mushrikeen. No, it didn't say munafiqeen and munafiqat. And then, after which, يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُنْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. They will cry out to them, were we not with you? The munafiqeen and munafiqat will cry out to the mu'mineen and mu'minat, we were with you, you know, we were next to each other, you know, when we were living in the dunya. They shall say, yes, but you caused yourself to fall into temptation. And you waited and doubted, and vain desires deceived you till the threatened punishment of Allah came. So vain desires, doubt, until the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, which could be the very death or another form of azab that they saw and through which they died, for example. So the nur that has been sent with us, which is the spirit, and because we live into a material form, and at the same time we live with the material desires, temptations, this makes that nur lessen day after day. But if we strengthen ourselves through the help of this nur and the different forms of the nur, for example, awliya or the Quran itself, then our nur itself the intensity increases. It attracts, you know, there's a poetry in Farsi, Nuriyan ba Nuriyan buwat. You know, Nuriyan, those people who have that nur, they attract nur. Nuriyan attracts Nuriyan. Those people who are in Zulumat, they attract, you know, Zulumat. And it is the case, you know, when good people attract good people. I mean, it's a principle that is laid underneath, you know, the human creation. You know, good attracts good, bad attracts bad. So therefore, when we have the spirit with us, this nur with us, we have to make sure that we listen to that conscience. As the ninth Imam says that, la tukmilul aql illa bisalas. You know, the aql will not be completed. It will not reach its perfection. But with three things, illa bisalas. One is that tawfiq min Allah, which is the very tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be that. And we have to make sure that there is a constant connection with God all the time. Because many a times a possibility exists that one would say that, no, you know, it is me who have really worked hard. It is really me who have, you know, read the Quran, fasted for 30 days, and it is me who have done the zikr at nights, and it is through my pains that I have achieved a maqam in terms of spirituality. But it is in reality is tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever we have. The second one, he says, qabulu mimma yansaha, accepting when he is corrected. Whenever he is corrected about something, he should accept it instead of denying it, instead of being arrogant about it. One should be humble in front of the truth. Humility, you know, is the quality that one should have. When somebody teaches him, he should be humble, even though that child might be younger to him. Or even though that person who have taught him, Batore Zahir, you know, we tend to have these stereotypes, you know, because he's not a Muslim, so that means that we should not respect him, nauzubillah, you know. Even though he might not be a Muslim, but he has taught you something, you have to have that respect for him. And the third thing is that Al-Wa'izu Daruniya, which is the conscious, the inner conscious. Listen to that, what it tells you. Man have been provided with that. And that is the very spirit that we all have. And something from inside tells us that it is wrong. And we have to listen to that. And we have to act accordingly. And when accepts that, fulfills that, his nur increases. His light increases. And what we have seen in the plains of Karbala is that nur attracted nur, and the ashab of Imam Hussein or the different Ravi who writes and have reported that the nur of Imam Hussein, which was on his face, increased it day after day as it was getting nearer and nearer to Ashura, to that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his constant action, through his constant amal, right? Yes, he is an imam, yes, but at the same time, he is killing his desires. He is going towards that perfection. His desires, the hijab that he has is not hijab al-zulmani, huh? It's hijab al-nurani. And he is not only the imam, he is not only going towards that nur, but at the same time attracting those ashab who have that nur within them, taking one after the other. For example, Zuhair. Was Zuhair with Imam Hussein when he came from Medina? No, Zuhair never was with Imam Hussein. Zuhair made sure that he doesn't camp at the same time when Imam Hussein camped. Because Imam Hussein was going to Kufa, Zuhair was going to Kufa, Zuhair had gone for Hajj. And Zuhair was returning home, and Imam Hussein is going to Kufa as well. And Zuhair made sure that he doesn't want to camp at the same time where Imam Hussein is stopping. To the extent that it happened, that Imam Hussein sent his messenger and says, give my salam to Zuhair. And here, the wife of Zuhair says that, what's wrong with you? The grandson of the Prophet is sending you salutation. Go towards him. And Zuhair goes. And he says that when I entered the tent of Imam Hussein, I saw Noor on the face of Imam Hussein. And I said to my wife that you go back and I'm going to join Imam Hussein. And the wife was also Noorani. And he said, what are you talking about? You will leave me where you have reached your destiny, the Haqq, I will be with you. Because Zuhair had that sense that if I see Imam Hussein, you know, from the dunyawi point of view, I'm in trouble. You know, we have this thing inside, it tells us that it is good to do, but we don't want to do it. We know it's good to do, but sometimes we get stuck. We have to do it. So Zuhair had that in him. Or Hur, for example. You know, as Hur stopped Imam Hussein, and when he stopped Imam Hussein, you know, shouted at him, was angry with him. And he says, may your mother cry for you, O Hur. But Imam Hussein is fully aware. You know, we tend to, you know, I mentioned this earlier as well. It's the incidents of Karbala and what the speeches, the style of Imam Hussein, if one really pays attention to, is so deep. Imam is not angry and he cannot get angry. Imam is not upset. Imam Hussein is trying to bring that nur out from Hur. And there are different ways of bringing that nur out. And the Imam knows that. And Hur says that if your mother was not Fatima, I would have said the same thing. So Hur have that nur in him. Hur knows who is the mother of Hussein. And that's why Hur came with for Imam. That's why Hur was attracted to nur of Hussein. And at the same time, he goes to a person in his tent and he says, oh Hussein, you look very Noorani. What you've been doing? You've been dyeing your beard. You know, you look very young and Noorani. He says that. And Hussein says, join me. He says, my horse runs very fast. Why don't you take my horse? He's seeing the Noor, but, you know, the desires and the temptation of the dunya. He says, I'll give you my property, my horse and everything, my sword, but I will not join you. He says that, you know, what do I have to do with your horse? I want you. I want that nur. So that the intensity of nur increases, so that nur remains, and it remained. And it really needed that those pure lights and pure nurs to make Karbala. To really to have that Karbala, the Karbala which was, it requires that pure nur. And today as well, to have that Karbala and to have that impact upon the dunya, it requires the pure nurs of all of yours and us together when we commemorate so that it remains. So Zuhair joined, Hur joined. They were attracted towards the Noor of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And Imam Hussain refined that Noor, brought them out of that Zulumat completely. You know, Abul Fazl Abbas and Shimr, they were related. And Shimr comes to the tent of Imam Hussain, and Abul Fazl was there as well, and he says, you know, safe haven for Abul Fazl, join me, because we are from the same tribe, we are related, there's nothing to worry about, you join us and we'll protect your life, leave Hussain. Abul Fazl got angry, very upset, you know, he raged inside the tent, and Imam Hussain says, go, speak to him. The refining of that Noor. He says that, you, oh my master, if you say yes, I will go and speak to him. He doesn't even want to speak to him, you know, because he's really disappointed and upset in what he's saying. You know Abul Fazl, right? But still he goes that close to that desire of life, that dunyawi life. He sees life in from a dunyawi point of view that he will live. But he returns back to the Noor, the real life. So who refined that? It was Hussein who refined that act. That is why the Daraja of Abul Fazl, in terms of his sacrifice, it says that, you know, people will be jealous in the positive sense, qibte, you know, of that great honorable station of Abul Fazl, that Noorani station of Abul Fazl that he has. You know, there are two shuhada been mentioned that Allah will provide them with special wings through which they will fly in Jannah. One is the Ja'far al-Tayyar and also Abul Fazl Abbas. So Imam refined that. Through this he made the act of Abul Fazl and sacrifice of Abul Fazl greater, Nuranitar, and it even gave him courage to that extent that he later on, he's tested again with that water, but he didn't drink. So it's that continuous temptation, that continuous test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, wants to see us to be successful, you know, the imtihan, that's why it's considered to be, you know, imtihan, test, through which we pass, through which we conquer, fort after fort. We reach his daraja after daraja. We become Nurani after Nurani. Greater Nuranitar. And here, Hur says that the letter came from Ibn Ziyad, because when Hur stopped Imam Hussein from entering Kufa, he says, I will send a letter to Ibn Ziyad and I will ask that, what shall I do now? And Hur says that the letter have come, and Ibn Ziyad said, you are not allowed to enter Kufa. And Imam Hussein says that allow us that we camp, that we get near to Furat. However, he denies. And they say that the two battalions, the battalion of Hur, you know, the soldiers, the army of Hur, and the army of Imam Hussein, the Ashab of Imam Hussein, they march parallel to reach the Furat. Hur wasn't allowing from one side, and Imam Hussein was trying to go towards Furat, to the extent that the horse of Imam Hussein stopped at a place. And he inquires that, what is this place? He says, Aqr. Means wound. And A'udhu Billah min Aqr, he says, may Allah, we seek refuge from wounds. And then he goes a bit further, and then the horse stops again. And here Imam Hussein inquires, what is this place? He says, it's the banks of Furat. Is there another name for it? He says, it's Karbala. And he says, A'udhu Billahi min Karbala. And then he tries to go again. However, there is a tradition which existed, or there is a reality to this tradition. For example, the camel of the Prophet stopped and it wasn't really, you know, getting up in one of the battles, unless Amirul Mumineen rode on it, and then it did. Because other ashab came, they wanted to ride on it, the camel wasn't moving, and Amirul Mumineen came fine. Or, for example, the Prophet said, I will let go the camel wherever the camel goes, I know I'm going to basically be in his house when he enters Medina. Or the parameters of the Masjid al-Nabawi was also marked through that. So the horse wasn't moving of Imam Hussein. And he says that this is a sign. And when he was informed that this is Karbala, he said, this is the ground where we will be wounded. This is the ground where we will be buried. This is the ground where our caravans will be looted. By this time, as we all know, also of the sacrifice, the shahadat, the first shaheed of Karbala, Muslim ibn Aqil. And there was another destiny for the children of Muslim ibn Aqil, Ibrahim and Muhammad. Younger, less than 10 years of age. They say that Muhammad and Ibrahim were with the Qadi of Kufa, and when he comes to Muhammad, and here Muhammad realizes that he is about to inform him something very dramatic, something very scary, something very sorrowful because of the appearance of Qazi. He says that Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, your father have been slain, and Ibn Ziyad have said that whosoever gives refuge to the children of Muslim is in trouble, will be punished. And here, Muhammad and Ibrahim says that we do not want any trouble because of us. We've fallen upon you and we will leave. And he says, how can I leave you like that? I have made arrangements for you so that you join a caravan going to Medina. You go with my son Asad and you keep this money with you so that it will assist you on your way to Medina. However, when Asad took Muhammad and Ibrahim, the caravan had left. The lights of the caravan were barely seen. But Asad says that the best is that you run behind this caravan. Otherwise, the soldiers are looking for you. And if you return back to Kufa, you will be in more trouble. Muhammad and Ibrahim ran and ran and ran. But they couldn't join the caravan. The caravan had left. In the wilderness of Kufa, they were wandering, and finally they were caught by a soldier of Ibn Ziyad and they were put into prison. The jailer, the prison guard, was from the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. He freed Muhammad ibn Ibrahim because he loved Ahlul Bayt. The son of Muslims were freed, but the jailer was caught. He was whipped to death. He became shaheed for freeing the two little children of Muslim. After which, they wandered in the streets of Kufa, and they couldn't meet the brother of this jailer, and gave the ring of the jailer to the brother, because the jailer had made arrangements that you will see my brother in a place outside Kufa, and you will give him this ring, and he will take you to Medina. But they were too little to really know the whereabouts or the boundaries of Kufa, and they were lost again. And they hid themselves in a date palm, and an Ethiopian slave went to fetch some water from the well. There she sees the image in the water of two little beautiful looking Muhammad and Ibrahim. And then as soon as she looks at Muhammad and Ibrahim in the date palm, she calls them down. And she takes them home. And as soon as they enter the house, the lady, the owner of the house, she realized that this is Ibrahim and Muslim. She hugs them and she kisses them, as she was also the lover of Ahlul Bayt. And then she gives refuge to Muhammad and Ibrahim in the house, and she says that do not make any noise or any sound until I make any further arrangements for you so that you go back to Medina. Because my husband is very cruel. And he is also expecting a reward from Ibn Ziyad by catching you, by delivering you to Ibn Ziyad. And these two little ones hid themselves in the room. And at night, they had a dream. Muhammad wake up crying. And he says that I saw the Prophet in the dream. And I also saw our grandfather Ali. And I saw Fatima. And you know, I also saw my father there. And Ibrahim also wake up and started crying. And he said, I had the same dream, oh brother. And Muhammad says, you know what the Prophet was telling our father? He was saying, oh Muslim, how come you leave the little ones in Kufa like that? Where the Kufa is surrounded by enemies, is full of enemies and who have betrayed you. And Muslim says, our father said that, oh Prophet, they will be joining us soon. So Ibrahim says, that does that mean that we're going to die soon, oh brother? And Ibrahim and Muhammad, they hugged each other and they started crying. And this noise went into the ears of the soldier, and he enters the room, push opens the door, and as soon as he sees the little one, he started asking questions that, who are you? They say that we are from Ahlul Bayt. And as you know that the Prophet have said that you have to respect guests. And you know how he respected the guest? He started slapping the little ones. And he tied the hands and he said, tomorrow morning I'm going to take you to Ibn Ziyad and get reward from you, from Ibn Ziyad. But however, he changed his mind. And he says that, before that I take you to Ibn Ziyad alive, I would rather take your heads. Because the possibility exists that a Shia might free you. So he takes Muhammad and Ibrahim to the banks of a river. And he takes along with him his son and his slave. And here on the banks of the river, he asked his slave to behead Muhammad and Ibrahim. And the wife of the soldier was pleading that, what are you doing? This is an horrendous act. But he listened no word from his wife and also from his son and also from his slave. And his slaves denied to kill the little ones, he kills the slave. And when he gives the sword to his own son, and he also denies. Look at the jahiliyat of this man. He kills his own son. And then finally, he approaches Ibrahim. And here when he approaches Ibrahim, Muhammad throws himself upon Ibrahim to protect him. He is the elder brother. And here he pushes approaches Muhammad now, and Ibrahim throws himself upon the brother. And finally the head of Muhammad was chopped in front of Ibrahim, and Ibrahim runs and picks up the head and places into his lap. And here Ibrahim's head was chopped as well. Small heads, less than 10 years, taken to Ibn Ziyad. And when Ibn Ziyad sees this head, he said, what an act! What on earth you have done? What harm these little ones have done to you? That you have killed them. Ibn Ziyad was very cruel, was very clever as well at the same time. He calls one of the Shia soldiers, one of the soldier who had love of Ahlul Bayt in his heart. He says that, look what they have done to the children of Muslim Ibn Aqil. And he hands over this man, this cruel man, to this soldier. And finally this man was also killed. He didn't even achieve that reward he was receiving. But two little ones sacrifice their life in the love of Ahlul Bayt for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Karbala becomes Karbala because of the sacrifices of the elderly ones, because of the sacrifices of the little ones. And the Karbala will remain Karbala by the participation of our elderly ones, by the participation of your little ones as well. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen, sayalimun ladheena zalamu, ayyuhal munqalibin yanqalibun. Ya Allah, bihaqqe Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, bihaqqe sacrifices of Hussein, bihaqqe sacrifices of Muslim and Muhammad and Ibrahim, forgive the sins of our marhumeen and make them special guest of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, forgive the sins of all of our mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially of the mu'mineen and mu'minat who are present here. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give shifa'i kamil to jumla mu'mineen and mu'minat, especially those who have requested us for prayers. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, he is the zuhur of our 12th Imam, and include all of us and our loved ones as his faithful companions. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect the life, honor, dignity of Shiayan of Amirul Mu'mineen, no matter where they live in this world. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, make this Muharram and the commemoration and the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn safe and sound for all of them, especially those who are walking. They already have started walking towards the shrine of Imam Hussein from different parts of Iraq, and they have already started going from different parts of the world to do the ziyarat of Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. Make their journey safe and sound, and make them return back to their home safely by the acceptance of their ziyarat. May Allah make, Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, make the majalis of azadari of Imam Hussein all over the world, especially in Pakistan, safe and sound. Ya Allah, protect all of our maraji nizam, give them tawfiq to strengthen, to create the groundwork for the zuhur of our 12th Imam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Matam-e Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.